I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Good news for you, Andre Darlis. No shots today.
I've got a stomach pain.
No injections today.
Fungus on my toe, and I need
not that I didn't enjoy seeing Dr. Most last week.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, and a brief thank you. Doc is one of the most generous guys there is, and on Saturday was nice enough to have me tag along with a great foursome at one of the world's best golf courses at Chicago Golf Club, and we had a great time, didn't we?
We really did. That was just a lot of fun. It was a great group, and had some laughs, saw some great golf, and had a couple of really good caddies as well.
I wonder, who finished first in that? Who was the four of us? Wasn't it the young man from Titleist?
Yes. Let's see. Kent Sands won, and he beat the head pro from Butterfield, Alex Mendez. So,
and I think you were third. So who that would make me fourth, wouldn't it, of the four? Fourth of the four.
Well, you know, really, it's only the top three that matter. So
I did my usual ADD, 48-38. There you go. There's two nines for you. So, but man, what a great golf course. What a great time. So thank you again for that.
You got it. You're welcome. That was fun.
Your brother, one of the other Most family members, they're like the Osmonds. There's 50 or 60 of them. And I think Merrill Most or Alan Most, I forget which Most got a hold of us, but said, hey, we need to adjust laryngitis by way of Cubs fans last night. A lot of screaming going on.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. He texted me late last night. David texted me and said, hey, I was at the game. You know, if you're going to try to help anybody in Chicago, why don't you talk about how to treat laryngitis? Because there's 45,000 people leaving Wrigley right now with laryngitis.
And I would say, too, in bars and restaurants, I literally couldn't talk on Friday. And I wasn't screaming and yelling. I could barely talk to the person sitting across from me.
Do you remember when you used to go into smoke-filled bars?
Oh, God,
can you imagine that now? Yeah. And now you smell smoke from a mile away. You think there's a fire. But laryngitis goes away. It's a stress thing, isn't it?
It is. You know, the vocal cords are essentially muscles, and if you use them improperly or you abuse them for a short period of time, they're going to get inflamed, and you need to just rest them. So lots of fluids. Rest your voice. Probably the biggest thing with people with laryngitis, don't whisper. People think they're whispering that's going to make it easier or make it better. It actually makes it worse. It's
really
harder to whisper. Yeah, it's harder to whisper. More effort in the muscles of your vocal cords to whisper than it is to talk normally.
I didn't know that.
But
never knew
lots
that.
Lots of fluids, yeah. Think about it. If you could, you could probably do curls for, well, you know, who knows.
I can do seven.
Anything happen.
Yeah. 7-8 curls, easy.
But you try doing a very fine movement, and it's going to make it, you're going to be much more tired quickly.
Interesting.
So don't whisper, talk normally, but rest your voice today and drink lots of fluids.
One of the things I want to discuss with you is a new concussion study or two that's out, because here we are in the middle of high school sports season, the NFL season. Yeah, even though the Bears are not playing, I don't know if you're aware of that. But before we get to that, and we'll do that after the break, there's another study that came out last week which had nothing to do with this discussion, and that's on SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. It's something we heard about a lot for a period of time, and then we don't hear about that much anymore. So what's new, and what do we need to know?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, we really haven't had a lot of changes in how we're going to take care of infants since 1992, since the back to bed, you know, making sure that when you put your child in the crib, that they're on their back. What just came out, or it's actually going to be published just later this week, is that there's now a change now that the recommendation is that not only should infants sleep on their back, but they should also sleep in the same room as their parents for at least the first 6 months, if not the first year of their birth, of their life.
And the idea being, if the child has an issue, you can hear it? What's the...
Correct.
Okay.
That's exactly it. You know, we feel that the chance of catching somebody who is in respiratory distress is much better if you're in the room there with them, because it's been shown over and over that the monitoring systems that we have are terrible and shouldn't be used. I mean, it's kind of say, oh, get them a baby monitor. The American Academy of Pediatrics has said, no, don't do that anymore. Put the child in the room with you. If you hear them having respiratory distress, you are going to be the one that's going to save them.
Okay, I get that, but I don't want to totally dismiss the baby monitor thing either, because the baby monitor thing that you're talking about, the reason that's not the primary idea is because you take it for granted, right? If you're not in the room, you know, you might look at it, you might not look at it, but still it serves a purpose.
Oh, it does serve a purpose. It the Academy is going to take the extreme to try to push as many people as they can to what they think could potentially decrease the number of SIDS by 50%.
So it's a big deal, obviously. And then what is the body-to-body contact piece of that study that I saw?
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, when a child is first born, placing the child skin-to-skin on top of the mother as quickly as possible after the delivery is actually great for the child. It makes that infant more relaxed. It makes them breathe better. And they're really not even sure why that works and why that happens. But it has been shown that those individuals and individuals who are breastfed have a much lower incidence of SIDS. So whether we're going to say, you know, gosh, the baby's delivered, let the mom hold the baby, you know, skin to skin. And it's like, wow, that's kind of unusual. But it's something that's been proven over and over in breastfeeding as well, and putting children on their back, and now, you know, having them sleep in their room. What we're trying to do is decrease that incidence of SIDS as much as we can, because the vast majority of these kids who die of SIDS are healthy children.
So literal physical bonding is absolutely crucial.
Yes. Yes. How about it?
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's no bad news there, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. If we have any whiny staff questions, we can go to those in a little bit. Dave Schwann's in for Steve Grzanich this week. And Schwani,
good morning.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Yeah.
And Dr. Most is available for any whiny staff questions. So when we come back, Schwani, if you've got any aches and pains or problems that you'd like to relieve yourself.
How much time do we have?
Yes. The only thing you can't do is check you for a hernia over the phone. So. 6:52 on Friday, we found out that Bennett Wakenight, Benedict Cumberbatch, who works on the opening bell and works on this show as well, had gotten mugged on the way to work. And Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us, Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. And Doc, he got hit in the face pretty hard.
Wow.
And he joins us now because yesterday, I told Bennett when I called yesterday, I said, listen, Bennett, I am going to nag you about this, but now I'm bringing in professional help to nag you as well. How's your headache today? I thought I'd turn this on.
Want free Blackhawks tickets? There's two chances for you on two.
Okay, that's a mistake. Hold on. Stand by.
How's your headache, Steve?
Damn, I just got worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why they don't let me fly the plane. Bennett, how's your headache?
The headaches are all right today. This is probably the least dense of a headache that I've had all weekend, but they've been constant headaches throughout the entire day, just a dull pain in my head. Since pretty much Friday afternoon. So I kind of had the thought that I would kind of let a couple days go by, say, all right, let's kind of gauge how it actually is. I really wouldn't take any Tylenol or Advil or any pain meds until I would go to bed, just to kind of gauge how things were going and progressing along throughout the days. And I said, today, you know, if it's still a pretty solid, dense headache throughout the day, then I would go see a doctor. So, Doc.
So Bennett, struck in the face, or did you hit your head when you fell?
The first hit was a sucker punch to the temple. The other one was to the jaw, and then I fell on the ground, and they grazed the back of my head three times.
Okay. And if you said your headaches from 0 to 10, 10's the worst headache in your life, 0 is no pain at all, where was it Friday, where was it Saturday, where was it Sunday, where is it today?
Friday was probably 8. Saturday, probably right around 8 there. Sunday, yesterday, it probably dropped down to a 6. And right now, I'd say it's at a 4 or 5, but things tend to, you know, escalate throughout the day.
Well, is that some comment on the show? His headache gets worse as the show goes on?
Well, yeah, but that's I've learned to grow used to that.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say we take that into consideration. And that's without any Advil or Tylenol throughout the day?
Yes, until, like, bedtime, in which I take some to go to sleep.
Okay. I mean, those are all, that's very promising, you know, that the headache is not getting worse, that it's getting better. You remember the incident, obviously. You remember the two blows. You remember what happened. Sometimes people with concussions will have amnesia of the event itself. As long as you're continuing to do that, what I would have said on Friday is someone should be with you pretty much all day. You shouldn't be driving a car, things along those lines, but Friday's passed. But as long as now as the headache's getting better and you're not any more confused and you're not having any other mental issues as far as where you're at, what's going on, I'd say that you're going to do pretty good.
So he doesn't need to go to a doctor now?
No, I'd say as long as his headache is improving, the doctor's going to say, hey, all we're going to do is watch it, monitor it, look for this. you know, signs of people have headaches and then vomit or the headaches getting worse. Those are the things we're concerned about. But for him, he's already past the 24 to 48 hour period that we would worry about. I wish we'd had this conversation on Friday, because the first 24 hours after a head injury is probably the most important. It's going to tell us which way this head injury is going.
All right. And Bennett, no word on the creeps that jumped you, right?
Got in touch with the detective, so they will be requesting the CTA video footage and see where we can go from there.
And again, Bennett did exactly the right thing, Doc. We mentioned this on Friday, but he had three guys jump him. He didn't try to say, you know, he didn't fight them off or try to get my phone. You know, he gave up his phone and got rid of him. That's the move, people. That's the move.
Yeah, you can always replace a phone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this leads us into concussions before we go to whiny staff questions. Oh, you have a question on Bennett?
Well, yeah, I do. Dak, Bennett is opposed to taking Advil in general. When he had back pain from his backpack, he wouldn't take it. Is there any advantage to not taking pain medication if your head is hurting?
No. At this point, actually, it's very good for you, because right now you're dealing with inflammation. If the inflammation comes down, the headache goes away, you feel better, you respond more quickly to things, you act more appropriately. So Advil right now is a great idea, especially this far in. So I would definitely take it now.
Yeah, so don't wait till bedtime. Take it now.
Correct. It's not going to do anything. Yep.
All right. Nicely done.
Thanks, Doc.
Sure.
All right. So the concussion study, before we run out of time, is what?
Yeah, you know, and nothing against organized sports, because Mary Sandberg made a good point. She goes, we always talk about organized sports and concussions, but we have to realize that there's a lot of other concussions. And, you know, team sports are important. They teach us discipline, teamwork. They build a lot of friendships. But the only way studies of concussions are going to happen is if they're with organized sports or with organized people. So what's interesting is there's a study came out of Sweden where they looked at over 100,000 Swedish males who had injuries to their brain, had a concussion, documented concussion. The control group had to be, if you had a concussion in your family, you had to have someone who hadn't had one. And that's the control group that they compared these to. And what they found is that the people who had a single diagnosed concussion, more likely to be receiving medical disability as an adult, significantly more had sought out mental health care, and probably the most important, were less likely to have graduated from high school or college just from one single concussion when compared to a sibling who did not have a concussion.
So you could literally have damage years and years later that you wouldn't even necessarily associate with it.
Absolutely. And that's what we're looking at now, is we're talking about the acute injury and the importance of identifying that and making sure that we don't get someone back into a game to have a second concussion on top of the concussion they have. But what we're also finding now is let's start looking at these individuals long term. And that's the second study that they're doing at Wake Forest, where they took 25 very young football players between the ages of 8 and 13. And they did an advanced MRI on these kids prior to the season starting, and they did one at the end. And what they found is that there were changes in their brain that they noted on the MRI for those that didn't have a concussion but had significant hits to the head during the season. Now, they didn't say anything about cognitive. They didn't say anything about any changes, but they noticed these MRI changes. Now, they'll be following these kids again to see if any of those changes occurred or anything has happened.
So the bottom line here is to remember that the next play doesn't matter. The rest of your kid or your high school player's life matters. If you think they got their bell rung, they did. It's not even a discussion.
Absolutely. You know, and this is more about awareness. This is more about what should we be looking for. And you're going to start to see more long-term studies that are going to show, okay, what really happens if you've had two or three concussions? What has happened if you've had five concussions? What if you haven't? So, you know, awareness is probably the biggest thing, because without that, we're not grasping which kids have concussions and what's happening in the future.
That's why medical research matters and why we spend the money on it.
Yep.
All right, Doc. Nice job by you. And thanks to you and Alex and Kent and everybody again for Saturday. And you'll keep an eye medically on the Cubs over the next 24 to 48.
Yeah, and you know, thanks to Justin and Sam for caddying for us too. Two great kids.
Yeah, they're great kids. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. All right, I'll talk to you later, 7 o'clock. That's Northwestern Medicine Impact every day.